But talk a little bit about Easter time and why Easter is 50 days and some of the unique prayers that go into this 50 days of Easter.
Right. So thank you very much for that. We in the Catholic Church live a annual liturgical calendar. It's 12 months, and we celebrate events on a yearly basis. And by doing that, we picked up where the Jewish faith left off, because they also would commemorate things on a yearly basis, like the Passover, right? That is explained in the book of Exodus, that it happened on the 14th day of the month of spring. Now, it's a little more complicated than that. They were using a calendar based on the moon, but that's why Easter is always in the spring, and Easter is associated with the Passover, and Passover was in the spring. And so what we do in the Lenten season, we have 40 days of prayer and fasting to imitate Jesus's 40 days in the desert before he began his public ministry. So it commemorates what Jesus did. We're trying to know Christ, love Christ, imitate Christ, walk in his steps. And then when we commemorate the resurrection of Christ on Easter Sunday, we call to mind that he stayed with his apostles for 40 more days. And 40 days later, which is Thursday, called Ascension Thursday, he ascended into heaven. And then on top of that, the apostles and the holy women went back to Jerusalem, and they huddled in the upper room, and 10 days of prayer, and after those 10 days of prayer, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and that was Pentecost Sunday. So the Easter season actually goes from Easter Sunday until Pentecost Sunday, and the Lenten season is the 40 days beforehand. So you had the 40 days of Lent, the 50 days of Easter, that's 90 days. And sometimes that the whole scene is season is known as the Easter season. Mm-hmm. And every year during the Easter season, Catholics are obligated to receive Holy Communion at least once and go to confession if they have unconfessed mortal sins. And so these are known as the Easter duties, right? To go to confession and go to communion. It used to be in the Catholic Church that people received Holy Communion far less frequently for a number of reasons. And one of the big reasons is before Vatican II, normally you had to fast from food and water from midnight the night before on Saturday night. And so a lot of people would go to early Sunday Mass, or if they went to later Mass, they didn't receive communion because they broke their fast, because that was a big fast, right? They got rid of that with Vatican II. They only have to fast for an hour before Mass. But that was all part of the Easter season duty, to go to confession and go to communion. And so if our listeners still haven't had a chance to go to confession, this Sunday is a great day to go at your parish, especially if they're having the Divine Mercy devotional here on Relevant Radio at 3 p.m. Central. Drew and I will have a Divine Mercy hour, because Drew's really kind of the king when it comes to Divine Mercy, you know, with the chaplet. I mean, millions of people have prayed the chaplet with him over the years. So we're going to do something very special for our listeners this Sunday at 3 p.m. Central from the Chapel of the Nativity in Green Bay, Wisconsin, which is our headquarters of Relevant Radio. And Drew and I will do that. We'll pray the chaplet. We'll take some phone calls. We'll have adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. We'll have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament. And that's a great feast in the church. It was instituted by St. John Paul II. And how about that? He passed away in the evening, the Vespers of that feast, the Feast of Divine Mercy. That was April 2nd back in 2005. So 90 days for the whole Easter season, 50 days coming up until Pentecost Sunday.
Do you mind if we ask you some questions about Easter? I'm thinking, you know, Regina Caeli and the Angelus, they're together but separate. And what's the difference between the two?
Sure. Well, the Angelus is the Latin word for the angel, and
right. It
comes from the first word from a phrase in the sacred scripture that the angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and that's the first phrase of the prayer. And that's a prayer that has been in use since the Middle Ages, about 1254 AD, when St. Bonaventure, who is the successor to St. Francis of Assisi as the head of the Franciscan order, mandated or encouraged or indicated that the members of the Franciscan order should pray this prayer to commemorate the most important event in human history, which is the incarnation of Christ, three times a day, at 6 in the morning, at 12 noon, and 6 in the evening. And when they prayed it, they should ring the bells of the parish church. So basically, 6 in the morning is when you get up, Noon is when you have lunch. 6 p.m. is when you finish your work. You go back home. And it commemorates the most important event in the whole history of the human race, which is the incarnation of Christ. So there's three phrases from the sacred scriptures. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived the Holy Spirit, followed by a Hail Mary each time. So there's three phrases and three Hail Marys, and then a prayer. But in the Easter season, we take a break from that, and we pray a much shorter prayer known as the Queen of Heaven. So the first two words in Latin are Regina Caeli. Queen of Heaven, rejoice, alleluia, for he whom you did merit to bear, alleluia. And you can sing it, or you can recite it, or you can pray it in the English language, or any language, or in the Latin language. And it's a beautiful little prayer. And we have the custom in Relevant Radio, at least in our Chicago studios, people come around at noon, and we've got an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe and St. John Paul II. We pray the Angelus, or we pray the Regina Caeli, and I encourage people to do that. Now, if you don't know it, John, if you don't know, where should people find it?
On the Relevant Radio app.
You got it.
Right there.
It's on the Relevant Radio app.
One stop for all things Catholic.
All right. You got it in English or in Latin. So if you go to the right side of the menu, the drop-down menu, you're going to find a treasury of prayers. And you find the Regina Caeli in English in the section called Basic Prayers, because it's a basic prayer. If you want to pray it in Latin or sing Latin, go down to the tab that says Latin Prayers, and you'll find the Regina Caeli. Now, here's what's neat. If you hit the button on that, it'll automatically translate it into English. So for the amusement and entertainment of our audience, I will actually sing the Regina Caeli. And the great part about this, John, is we don't have to pay music licensing fees.
Glenn, put the accordion down. You don't need the accordion.
This one is in the public domain for 900 years, because you got to be careful with music on the air, right?
All those fees. Less than 45 seconds.
Yeah, so this is how it goes in Latin. Regina Caeli laetare, alleluia, quia quem eruisti portare, alleluia. Resurrexit, sicut dixit, alleluia, ora pro nobis Deum, alleluia. Gaudi laetare Virgo Mater, alleluia. Qui resurrexit Dominus Veri, alleluia. Now, if you're just tuning in right now, you probably want, what is going on this crazy radio station? Somebody speaking in tongues. No, I'm singing in Latin. So it means, Queen of Heaven, rejoice, alleluia, for he whom you did merit to bear, alleluia, has risen from the dead as he said he would. This is a rough translation. Pray for us to God, alleluia. Rejoice and be glad, Virgin Mary, alleluia, because the Lord has truly risen, alleluia. And then there follows a prayer after it. Oremus, which is, let us pray. Deus, qui per resurrection fili tui domini nostri, Jesu Christi, munum laetificar dignatus as, praeste quaesumus, ut per eos genetricem virgin mariam, perpetua capiam scade vitae, per unum Christum domino nostrum. And the whole people say, Amen. So let me see if I can translate here. Doing the rough translation. Let us pray. O God, who through the resurrection of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, Domini Nostri Jesu Christi, was pleased to bring joy to the world, grant, we pray, that by the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, we may always have perpetual joy. So it's a joyful prayer, isn't it? It's all about joy. Of course they were happy. Jesus rose from the dead, because on Good Friday it looked like, wow, this is horrible. This is like totally horrible. It wasn't supposed to end this way, right? Our Lady stayed strong at the foot of the cross because she had meditated on that. She knew the prophecies of the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, which we read on Good Friday. It's like amazingly, it's an amazing prophecy because like everything that Isaiah wrote came true. Bruised, derided, cursed, defiled, she beheld her tender child. That's the phrase from the Stabat Mater. And so it's on Holy Saturday that Mary stay strong because she knew this wasn't the end of the story, although the apostles were scandalized and baffled and depressed and discouraged and frightened, and Mary stayed strong, and on the third day Jesus rose from the dead. And that gets to the central core of our faith, John, belief that Jesus Christ is God. And if we believe he's God, then we have to take his words seriously and his project seriously. What's his project? The establishment of the universal Catholic Church and what the Church teaches. And really, the question comes down today, I think the fundamental question for everyone, those who are listening or not listening, is why do you believe Jesus Christ is God? And maybe you've never really wrestled with that question before. Maybe you just kind of accepted it, or maybe you don't really believe Jesus Christ is God. And maybe you really haven't tangled with that question and turned it over in your mind. And if he really is God, you know, what are the consequences to that belief? If he really is truly present in the Holy Eucharist, what are the consequences to that? Right, we know what the consequences were for Peter. He followed Jesus Christ to the end, and he was willing to be a martyr. We know what the consequences were for John. We know what the consequences are for people who've been martyrs who really believed in Jesus Christ. And I think we could be tempted to say, well, you know, I didn't see him rise from the dead. I've never seen him in the flesh. I didn't see the holes in his hands or in his side. And so I think for most of us, if we're created Catholics, you know, we believe that Jesus Christ is God because, you know, that's what our parents taught us. They believed it, and we believed them. They loved each other. They loved us. And so we loved what they loved, right? But there comes a time in your life where you have to examine it more deeply. And I encourage people to pay attention for those signs that God gives you that he's there and you're not alone and he's answering your prayer. And these things that happen are not just a coincidence. And so every night on the Family Rosary across America, we get people call in. And I'm going to say more and more the prayer requests are not prayer requests. I just want to give thanksgiving that we prayed 7 months ago for such and such, and this is what happened. And I want to thank everybody's praying because our prayers have been answered, and I know it's a miracle. So that's, you know, it becomes sort of the gospel according to you.